The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good morning, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I think I'm just as frustrated as every other Israeli waking up to the news that we will be headed back to the polls in March. Unless, of course, by some miracle something happens or a meteor strikes the earth or something really out of the ordinary happens.
Okay, look, just because Israel can't get it together politically, do we all have to be hit by a meteor? I'm just saying.
This is true.
No, like really, what is going on? I mean, how many times is this now? Is this the fourth time?
This will now... This will now be the fourth time. I mean, of course, let's just end 2020 with a bang and head off to another set of elections. So this has been the drama that has been unfolding over the last 24 hours or so. Yesterday, the blue and white and Likud factions presented their agreement to push the or delay the budget vote to the 31st of December. Now, this passed the initial vote, giving us all hope that, you know, there might be a miracle and it might be averted. However, there were other issues at play. The blue and white put forth a proposal of 5 points, including, I've lost the word in my head, Kathy.
You and me, we're getting old, Rolene.
It's not old, it's the two languages, including like confirmation about the rotation agreement, passing the budget, keeping Avi Nissenkorn as justice minister, pushing forward some of the procedures at the Knesset that had been held up, and a few others. And this wasn't agreed upon. Coupled with that, because Gideon Sa'ar from the Likud has formed his own new political party, yesterday there were quite a number of defections from both the blue and white and from the Likud to join Gideon Sa'ar's new party. Coupled with this, we had big, big dramas between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Yesh Atid chairman Yair Lapid. Prime Minister Netanyahu said, you know, we shouldn't be discussing elections and budgets. You know, I'm trying very hard to find more vaccines, to which Yair Lapid said to him, basically, who are you kidding? You don't care about the mutation of the virus. You only care about the rotation of the premiership. And
one exhausting,
of the Likud ministers
really.
Said that. Pardon?
It's like a soap opera.
And, it's completely.
And he
like
said,
a soap
and
opera.
She said, and pointing fingers and spitting at each other and doing God knows what.
And screaming. Don't forget the screaming. And Miki Chaimovich, a Likud member, said that she had voted with her conscience, and she has decided she will not vote for Netanyahu, and bearing in mind that she is a blue and white party faction member. She said he is not worthy of our trust. So we had mutiny in the blue and white and disagreements in the blue and white to vote on proposals. We had defections from the Likud, defections from the blue and white. We had Yair Lapid screaming at Prime Minister Netanyahu, Netanyahu screaming at everybody else. And at the end of the day, it was decided that the Knesset will dissolve as of midnight tonight, and Israel will head to the polls on the 23rd of March. And I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted after all of that.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just listening to it and actually just imagining. Do you think that people are going to come out in numbers and vote again? And I mean, is this the time to be having an election during COVID?
Well, you know what? We're not terribly surprised. You know, we have grown sadly quite used to this kind of interaction and this kind of disagreement and this kind of dysfunction. Let's just use the word. You know, somebody said to me this morning, they don't think that there's any more dysfunctional leadership than our leadership, because nobody can seem to agree on something. You know, on the other hand, it is democracy, and this is how democracy works, especially in a multi-party system. But I think right now Israelis are election fatigued. We're not surprised that we're heading to elections. It's going to be interesting to see how the different parties perform. You know, early polls have a significant entry tipped for Gideon Saar and his party. They're speculating that a possible 19 seats could go to Saar. Bennett's party, Hayemina HaKhadash, the new right, they could possibly see a much, much higher showing of seats and representation. The two parties that will see less will be the Likud and the Blue and White. The Blue and White are predicted to only have about 6 seats should they re-enter. Some say that maybe Benny Gantz will pull out of politics from this. I highly doubt it. I think that he's in politics at least, you know, for another couple of years. Will we see Eisenkot, the former Ramatkal, because it seems to be the path that former heads of or chief of staff of the IDF seem to follow? Will he be headed into politics? There's some speculation he will. Will we see Gabi Ashkenazi move from the Blue and White to another party? There's speculation that could possibly happen. All I can say, it's going to be a balagan. And right now, there will be one dominating talk at the Shabbos table, and that is, who are we going to vote for? And last week, Avigdor Lieberman, the chairman of Israel Biteinu, the vastly Russian party, put forward a proposal to join Yesh Atid, Hayemina HaKhadash, Gideon Saar's new party, and his party together to form a major bloc to try and prevent Netanyahu from forming any kind of coalition within the Knesset, should the Likud be victorious. That was declined by the various party members, but we'll have to see how the next couple of months progress. All we know right now is that it's possibly the 23rd of March we'll get the day off, and possibly there will be ice cream, Kathy.
And there will be social distancing, and there will be masks and hand sanitizer, presumably.
And there will be a lot of very, very robust discussion.
All right, let's talk about a very serious and a very sad story about Esther Hogan.
Let's talk about Esther Hogan. Yesterday, her body, 52-year-old Esther Hogan, an immigrant from France, a mother of 6, her body was found very close to the West Bank. She came from the town of Tel Menashe in the Shomron, which is very, very close to the West Bank. And she was found with her skull bashed in. In fact, practically smashed into pieces. And we don't have a clear motive yet. Police are investigating it. It is speculated that this could be terror, but they're not ruling out criminal or any other kind of motive. And her husband said yesterday that, in his opinion, the only way to fight against this kind of terror is to rebuild. Very, very emotional, very, as you can understand, grief-stricken and angry, devastated 6 children. And Prime Minister Netanyahu saying yesterday that he condemns this, referred to it as a terror attack, and said, we will go, you know, we will stop at no lengths to find her killer. A very, very tragic story. You know, we haven't heard of terror attacks, at least on civilians, for quite a while. And we thought it would have really stopped during this COVID-19 pandemic. Yesterday as well, a terrorist opened fire on police and guards at in the Old City at Damascus Gate. He was neutralized by security services that were on the scene. And then in a third situation, we had young settler kids throwing rocks at Palestinians. And when the police asked them to stop, they didn't stop. They continued. They then got into a car and drove off with the police giving chase and signaling to them, please, to stop, to pull over. This didn't happen. They continued. And one of the cars that was belonging to the settler kids flipped near the Michmash Junction, killing a 16-year-old and injuring four other people. The police were able to apprehend the four others, and one eventually passed away in hospital, in Hadassah Hospital, Ahuvia Sandak, from the Bet Ayin area. And this resulted in about 200 people demonstrating or gathering near the police station, near the headquarters, and they started to protest what they are calling police brutality. They were screaming, police are killers, Jews don't kill Jews. Some threw rocks and stones at the police. Some tried to break into the police headquarters. The police then managed to arrest about 40 demonstrators, and one of the policemen was wounded in the head after he was struck by a rock. What is quite frightening is that some of these that participated and were detained were as young as 13 years old. And I'm including this in a broadcast about possible terrorists, because we don't throw rocks at the vehicles of civilians, be they Jewish or Palestinian.
Yeah, I can't talk about indoctrinating young children and ignore the fact that it does happen in our community as well. I wouldn't say across the board, but certainly in certain sects of the community, or even if it's in specific households, indoctrination and racism is not good in any form. Just saying.
Well, that's it. And, you know, Israel does try terrorists, be they Jewish or Arab, they get tried equally. This is a very important point to remember. It's also very important that we do have to know that we do have fundamental areas in parts of our societies. And it's very, very frightening when we do have kids as young as 13 thinking that they can behave like this with impunity. And, you know, we have to respect the sanctity of life. And what is also quite worrying is trying to capitalize on accusations of police brutality. The police were in their car. They did give chase. They were not out of their car. They were not beating up anybody. And, you know, these kind of accusations are uncalled for and will be investigated.
Yeah. Clive actually weighing in on this story about Esther Dagan. It's interesting that her husband, I just looked it up quickly, her husband Benjamin is one of the people saying that it was, you know, it was terror. But, you know, the investigation must happen, because if it was nationalistic, aren't there usually signs if it's nationalistic? Why just murder somebody if it's nationalistic? Wouldn't you make a statement with it?
Well, as these investigations happen, they are under embargo. So we won't know the exact details until the investigation progresses and the police or the Shin Bet allow us to hear some of the details of this. You know, it looks like all evidence, you know, to what we see so far and to what we know points to terror. But, you know, I think they're going to be very, very careful to investigate both possible motives. And we will know more as it progresses and they allow for the embargo to be lifted.
Yeah, Clive saying, how many more people have to die before the death penalty gets imposed? So Israel doesn't have a death penalty, does it?
We actually do have a death penalty. Oh. Israel does have a death penalty. We've only used it once, and that was in the case of Adolf Eichmann, the Nazi mastermind behind rounding up the Jews and killing them in the Final Solution. It's the only time the death penalty has been exercised. Many, including Avigdor Lieberman, have campaigned for the death penalty to be used again in the case of terror attacks. However, it has also sparked a major debate. You know, in the case of terrorists who know and who expect to be killed, should they be caught, you know, carrying it out, it lends to that whole narrative of becoming a shaheed, of becoming a martyr. And this is why many have said we will not exercise the death penalty. We will not allow for terrorists to become martyred.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sure the terrorists aren't the only people who, you know, who might be subject to a death sentence. Anyhow, Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it. Catch up with you this afternoon at 20 past 5 with Chad Thomas.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.